listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I couldn't tell you how old your daughter was. I couldn't tell you how old your son is. I got my own junior on the way, dog. Plus, I already got one kid. Couldn't tell you much about the fam, though. I just showed up for the yams, though. Maybe 15 minutes, took some pictures with your sister. Merry Christmas, then I'm finished, then it's back to business. You want to ask some questions about some real shit? Like I ain't got enough pressure to deal with? Please don't pressure me with that bill shit. Because everybody got them who ain't children. Oh, you been nothing but a friend to me. Niggas think I'm crazy, you defending me? Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Wednesday.
Yes, we are.
Which means it's a Walking Dead Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
For all the people that know, we do a recap of the Walking Dead every Wednesday on the Black Guy Tips. So, you know, we'll definitely get into that today. Shout out to my other new favorite show, though. People versus OJ Simpson.
That shit is the goddamn best show on TV right now to me.
It's lit.
It is lit. Even though I know the outcome, the shit is still lit. And the dude to play Johnny Cochran need a motherfucking award because he acts his ass off.
That Vance. He's hit that nigga please yesterday. I said,
He hit them little girls and be like, it's just a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
They got put on by the police.
My favorite thing was when he said, when it comes to Furman, don't do them. Make the white people do them.
Yes!
He's so good.
He was like, I'm trying to save you, brother. Make them have to deal with that bullshit.
Don't do them yourself. Make the white people do them. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So good.
He knew that was a bad strategy.
But yeah, so it's been a lot of interesting stuff happening. Also, you know, I feel like before we get started, I also got to mention Super Tuesday went exactly like I expected.
Whooping.
Super Tuesday, Bernie got his super ass whooped.
Yes, he did.
We are, you know, just one step closer. We're just one step closer to not having to argue about this shit. You know what I mean? That's all I care about. I just don't want to argue about it no more, guys. That's it. I just want to be able to live my black ass life without. Last night, there was a lot of angry Bernie Sanders fans. Boy, you could not say nothing about Bernie last night. And I was being so mature. It was so hard not to say anything because it was going exactly as I said it would go.
Right.
And I wanted to laugh and party, but I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings because, you know, I actually don't have any personal gripe with people who support Bernie Sanders, but people was taking it personal, man. All up in my mentions. I got called names last night. One dude said, He came in and I said something about Bernie. I said, well, Bernie didn't really try to get the black vote down south, which he didn't.
Nope.
Didn't even spend money down here, by the way, on ad campaigns or anything.
Not a dollar.
So, they were like, well, no, he posted, he retweeted my tweet and he was like, make stank face. And I replied back like, oh, okay, like,
I mean, he didn't spend money. So,
like, what kind of passive aggressive shit is that? I was like, well, that's why you're getting blocked. So I went ahead and blocked them. But on my phone, sometimes, even after I block people on my phone, sometimes they'll give me an alert if they tweet me.
Right.
And so this person tweeted me again and he called me a little girl or something. I was like, so it's the sexism that's making you vote for Bernie? Cause I mean, is that what it is? Your next stage is to be like, you're a little girl. I mean, first of all, we're adults.
Come on, dog.
Like, did you go to the first grade school of insulting people? Because I feel like that's not enough to get it done. But I was just like, a lot of y'all that don't like Hillary do seem to have some women problems, some problems with gender and some sexist shit going on.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, to me it wasn't that surprising that the couple of people that really got upset with me for blocking them last night both call me stereotypical like gender insults. One of them called me a girl, the other one called me a bitch or something like that. Or I was like, yeah, okay, all right, well, I'll be that.
Yeah, right,
you know. A lot of, some people was like, oh, you questioning my blackness. I was like, what? I was like, you do realize that I'm gonna be black no matter what the fuck happens, and neither one of these white people gonna save us. So
nope,
can we just calm down on the rhetoric? And I noticed that that shit only comes from one direction. Like, you just do not get it the other way. If you say something bad about Hillary, nobody comes in and calls you a coon, question your blackness, tell you you're a sheep. And I'm ready for that shit to be over. So the sooner Bernie's done, the better off for everybody, because it's stupid to see all this arguing when nobody's changing anybody's mind, and it's getting to the point where people just want to insult each other.
Right. Because for me, it's like it's just frustrating, and it's just one of those things where I don't know how long Bernie's gonna stand. Bernie has the money where he can roll to the summer if he chooses to.
Right.
And honestly, the sad part about it, which, I mean, it's good and sad. It's good that the longer he stays, the further he pushes Hillary to the left. And I think that's his whole purpose. Eventually, I think he will drop out, but it's gonna be to the point where it's like no way whatsoever he can win.
Yeah, I think he's staying there for a while. Right. Like I said, it's smart strategy. It keeps pushing her to the left,
right? And that's a good thing.
That's what you need. You need her. If your issue is the economy, you need to make her talk about the economy as much as possible,
right?
You know. But for the most part, the race is over. So hopefully, some of the trolling will die down. Although I did see a bunch of Bernie stans blaming black people, which man, I'll just be glad when those people stop tweeting and, you know, stay home or whatever they're doing.
Right.
Yeah, the dude on Twitter, Just Darren, has said, "You gotta know that a bitch who will block you in response to a neutral query is weak in personality and position." Peace sign. And he called me a punk ass bitch. And I'm like, so you don't think you might have some issues around gender and shit, and maybe that's driving some of your hatred towards Hillary too?
Yes, I truly believe some of the criticism for Hillary is just she's just a bad candidate. I do think right. That's the bulk of the complaints, all jokes aside. But there is a constituent who go, "We don't want a fucking female, period." That, I mean, it's just sexism all wrapped around in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think.
And you can't get around that.
And I think a lot of people have tricked themselves into thinking that it's more complicated than that.
Right.
But they literally don't care about those things with other candidates. Mm-hmm. But when it comes, like, you know, there was a girl last night that was in my mentions saying, "Well, one idiot's opinion doesn't count as representing all of Bernie people." I said, first of all, I blocked thousands of y'all. So it's not one idiot. It's not even just a couple. It's thousands at this point. Secondly, what's wild about that, she was the person that was telling, when John Lewis said he supported Hillary Clinton, she was a white woman saying how it was okay, in her opinion, to call black people Uncle Tom and shit. So just her opinion, you know. I didn't follow her that day. Like, well, we won't ever be cool.
I can't
ever associate with a white person that thinks that's okay to, because it's just not your existence. You don't get to do that. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's her privilege, and she gets to live that privilege. So she was looking at it like, I get to do this thing, and you're telling me I can't, and that I'm a bad person for doing it. So instead of going, yeah, I shouldn't do that, she's like, well, whatever, I'm gonna keep doing it, you know? I'm like, okay, cool. I know where you stand now. And she also had called Hillary Clinton a cunt that day.
Right.
So it's like, you know, people don't want to look at their own issues, you know, cause I'm like, were you even on Bernie's dick 2 years ago?
Yep, I didn't know who the fuck he was 2 years ago, and that's the truth.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of these people, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not really Bernie, it's just anti-Hillary shit. Mm-hmm. You just don't want Hillary to win. And just come out and say that, because I get, like, I can relate. we can bond on talking shit about Hillary. We can bond on that.
Yes, we can.
But anyway.
Yes, we can. I'll be glad when it's over. I'll be glad when it's done from that perspective. I'll be glad when the harassment stops. It was one of those things, y'all niggas gonna vote or you're not. I just want you to stay the fuck off of social media.
Yeah, we can bond on some hating Hillary. As long as you're not just trying to make it a sexist thing, then we can't really bond. But no. If you're just talking about her policies or, you know, scandals and shit, if that's what that's your thing and you want to discuss that, that's fine. But some of this shit is getting ridiculous. But yeah. I'm glad for the most part, we hit that halftime mark on all this shit, because it's almost over. The signal's the beginning of the end to me. And also, at a Trump rally last night, black woman got assaulted. Did you see that?
No.
It was Governor Chris Christie who came out first.
This is live on the news. You can just see people were pushing her. She's not hitting anybody. She's not touching anybody. They're calling her names. They're pushing her out of the thing. This made me so angry watching it. Police were sitting around doing nothing. This guy looks like he's former military and he's pushing her. You know, which is just, and they're just talking about it like it's not happening on the news. Like these rallies aren't racist. Like he's not attracting the worst scum possible. Like it's just amazing that this shit is just passing as, you know, just another political rally.
I have a question. It is 2016, right?
It's 2016, yeah.
You sure? It's
I think so.
2016, right? Not 1960s. It's not 1970s, right?
Right.
It's 2016, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's funny is, even last night, I saw a couple people. One dude said, well, it's about time Black Lives Matter protested at a Trump event. I said, look, I'm going to assume you're just not aware. Because one, they've done this before. Two, this would be a dumb strategy. It's not safe for them to do it. And I know protesting in general isn't safe. This is just dangerous. And strategically, it's bad strategy. Because all it does is pump up his base. Cause it motivates them. They love seeing this shit. And for, and then it can injure someone. Someone can get hurt at one of these things. Nothing like if he becomes president, he'll never go, well, those Black Lives Matter people really showed me and I need to start thinking about race differently. He won't do that. You have a chance with Hillary and the people on the left that actually want your vote. You have a chance with Bernie. You know, at least I thought you had a chance, but the point being, it made sense to get into that discussion. This discussion furthers, it helps nobody. I mean, she's brave as fuck for doing it, but, she said she was called a nigger and a cunt, by the way. Which doesn't surprise me that they would do that. They were trying to say that the footage was out of context and all this shit. And she started it and all this shit, but come on, man, you look at it and nah. You know, there were Black people that were supporting Trump and we didn't push them. You shouldn't have pushed anybody though. You know, that's the thing about these rallies. Everybody's not going to be on your side. No point do you need to get physical. You're supposed to be just a person who's there. You know? But yeah, that's wild, man. That's just wild.
That's the shit to make you mad. Like really though, that's the shit right there that makes you mad, and that's the shit right there that makes you say, since Trump started running, I never took him as a motherfucking joke. I've always said fuck him. Mm-hmm. Because he's always been on that platform and he's always have drawn the crazies, and a lot of the shit in the Republican Party started with the Tea Party people. Those people came in and they fucking ramshacked the party. They came in and they took over. They don't give a fuck about anybody. They fucked around and made the government stop goddamn functioning because the government, we didn't do because Obama was in office. It's one of those things. Once you get crazies in there who really don't give a fuck about the Democratic way, who really don't give a fuck about being or representing the people that they voted in for, and it becomes very, very frustrating, because the thing about it is that Donald Trump has been, quote unquote, called on this shit, and the media thought it was cute and the media thought it was funny until it was like, oh shit, he really might win the nomination. Are people this fucking dumb?
Yeah, well, you know what though, it's privilege, because there's still white people who treat this as a game. Even now, they still think it's kind of a game. They still, because the idea is it can never hurt them. It's never gonna be a rally for Trump that white people have to be scared about. It's Black people and Muslims and Latinos, and those are the people that need to be scared. Not to mention, there's a lot of, I saw more than a few people over the past few months that have said stuff like, well, Bernie doesn't win, might as well just vote for Trump and shit like that, because there's no difference to certain people. If you have a certain amount of privilege, there's just no difference who's president in your life. So yeah, to us it was always serious, you know, and it kind of disgusted me, and it showed me a lot about people, the way they talked about him. You know, how funny it was to them and how much of a joke it was to them. Cause it was, you know, I still remember listening to this one podcast where they were like joking about this idea of like, well, Hillary's just so boring, you know, like I want someone with personality, like Donald Trump. I would love to interview Donald Trump. And they were just gushing all over Donald Trump and shitting all over Hillary. And I'm like, but if you were black, you wouldn't be thinking there's no fucking discernible difference, or, hey, as long as they got personality, you wouldn't be thinking that shit. If you were Latino, you wouldn't be thinking that. And because you live in this white, like, bubble, you don't ever have to think about what other people might think about this shit.
Come on now.
You're not even thinking about your listeners who might not be white. You're not even thinking about that. The people in your mind that listen to your show are other white people exactly like you, who have friends just like you, who live just like you. And you think it's all cute, you know? And it's so to me, it was incredibly frustrating. Here's a conversation where, on CNN, you know, they bring on a racist and then they bring on Van Jones. Jeffrey Lord, basically a Trump, apologist. And he has a discussion with Van Jones. And it's interesting because he pulls some of the same bullshit that many people pull when it comes to modern, discussions about racism and the historical racism. So they try to pull the Democratic Party used to be racist and that kind of shit. Like you don't know, you know, like, what, remember with the Dixiecrats, like they try to school black people that already know what the fuck happened. Mm-hmm. And that, like, we aren't alive. Like the last 30 to 40 years of life didn't happen. Like we didn't notice who was where now. Anyway, this is the conversation. It's between Van Jones and Jeffrey Lord.
We're talking about the sort of crazy dog whistle policy proposal.
What's the dog whistle?
That Donald Trump threw. Well, actually, it isn't a whistle. It's a scream. It's
what,
a yell.
About what?
I've said this before. Donald Trump has tried to otherize every other candidate in
this
race.
That's liberal speak.
He's
the
a liberal.
Other.
He's a liberal. It falls
no,
perfectly
what you said
in line.
Is liberal speak.
But he's doing it. He's acting. He's otherizing other candidates to sort of scare this very small part of the electorate who thinks that all of their problems are the fault of people who don't look like them. He's tapping into what is real, and I would argue he taps into it on the left as well as the right. That element exists on the left, and that's working for him.
Let's talk about what he said about the Klan. I mean, here's a guy who disavowed this many, 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 many times. And you hear.
By the way, she said something very important there. I just want to pause for a second. What she said, it's on the left, too. Exactly.
It is.
I think that has gone just untalked about. And
right.
To the point where it definitely caused Bernie Sanders some votes. Too many people have experienced it. I don't think it's the major thing that cost him votes. I really just think he didn't want the black vote, but it's cost him votes. People just do. They did, too many people either experienced it or saw people experience it.
Right.
And they went, I can't fuck with this guy because the kind of people that fuck with him, they may say they have liberal policies, but really what they have is a lot of anger towards Wall Street, some possible resentment of women, and then racism and shit. Like, I can't be on board with that shit, you know?
Here's a statement from Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan today. I like Paul Ryan. We both work for Jack Kemp. Jack Kemp would be appalled at this. The Republican, I hate to say this about the Republican establishment, but their view of civil rights is to tip the black waiter $5 at the country club. I mean, this is atrocious. This is atrocious.
This is why
Donald Trump has the ability to because he's not going to patronize people.
Well, hold on a second. First of all, there's a lot of things you said that I could take you on about, but I want to be very, very clear. The things that Donald Trump has done, and not just in this race, are horribly offensive. You can go back with this guy for a long time. I want to talk. I want to talk.
I didn't say anything yet.
Oh, you breathe. you can go back to the Central Jogger case, where he came out and had innocent black kids winding up in prison.
Innocent kids.
Hold on a second. Black kids. Listen, hold on a second. We have a big problem at this point now. Because I.
By the way, you saw how he tried to take race out of Van Jones' point? He's like, innocent black kids. No, innocent kids. No. Innocent black kids. The race part of this matters. You can't just take it out when it's convenient.
Right, because if they was white children, there's no way he'd have put that newspaper article out and all that shit. Get the fuck out of here.
I agree with you about a lot. I think that we have taken him not seriously. We have not respected his voters. But there is a dark underside here. And Essie is right. He is whipping up and tapping into and pushing buttons that are very, very frightening to me and frightening to a lot of people. Number one, when he is playing funny with the Klan, that is not cool.
He didn't play funny.
Hold on a second. I know this man when he gets passionate about terrorism. I know how he talks about terrorism. The Klan is a terrorist organization that has killed
a leftist terrorist organization.
You can put whatever label you want. That's your game to play.
No, it's your game to play. History.
No, they're not. We're not going to play that game.
We're not going to understand history.
No, no, no. You need to take a serious look at the fact that this man is playing fast and loose and footsie. When you talk about terrorism, he gets passionate. He says, "No, this is wrong." But when you talk about the Klan, "Oh, I don't know. That's wrong." And then you came on the air. And you said, well, this is just like when Reverend Wright was speaking.
Yeah.
Reverend Wright never lynched anybody. Reverend Wright never killed anybody.
Reverend Wright is an anti-Semite.
Reverend Wright never put anybody on a post. And you guys play these word games. And it's wrong to do in America.
It is wrong to understand that these are not leftists. They were a
What difference does it make if you call them leftists?
See, and that's the thing. He's trying to pin the Klan on Democrats, because that's, like I said, when you have a certain amount of privilege in the world, you can play the game of no, I'm just trying to say it's Democrats' fault that there's a Klan. That's not the fucking argument. It's a terrorist hate group. Not despite the fact that you're wrong, they are not Democrats fucking killing black people and shit. That's not what the Klan is right now. But despite that fact, it's actually inconsequential to the point being made, which is that they support Donald Trump. That should be enough for you to go, something's wrong with this guy. And this reminds me of everybody that used to write me and still do on Twitter and say, well, what does it matter who's supporting the candidate? You're going to let that sway your vote? It's really just about the issues. Okay, the Klan is supporting Donald Trump. All this shit is connected. His issues attract certain types of people. If the platform you have attracts people that happen to be racist, you got a racist platform.
Yes, you do.
Sorry to inform you, dog. Like I've been alive and black long enough to recognize it. So it's just what it is. But yeah, this guy's trying to play a game about, well, it's the Democrats or it's the Republicans. Yo, it doesn't matter. It's the Klan. It's not okay.
You don't play games with that.
And it's that false equivalency, just like they say about the Black Panthers or Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Well, he said, goddamn America. He didn't kill anybody.
Not a soul, dog.
He didn't burn down anybody's house. He didn't hang anybody. He didn't take anybody's life for whistling at a white woman. It's not equivalent. Stop trying to be, well, there's some black people that don't like white people. Right, they're not killing them, though. They're not, like, it's not a terrorist organization.
You're right, and you don't hide and say that's not part of the base of the Democratic Party. That has been, they were the military arm, the terrorist arm of the Democratic Party, according to historians.
That's,
for God's sakes, read your history.
I don't care.
His whole attitude of dividing.
By the way, that whole read your history thing, that's so ridiculous. It's so condescending. Just read the history. That's not even the discussion that's being had right now.
You know, the whole conversation, a lot of times they just derail. And a lot of times when you, that's why I hate these fucking debates, because a lot of times nobody ever gets any points across. And the person is a lot of times the person with the wrong perspective, in my opinion, just constantly out talks the other person, the logical person.
Well, the goal is to win. You know what I'm saying? The goal is not to have a discussion or a conversation. The goal is to entertain and win this debate. on national TV and then go to commercial
for fucking 5 minutes. Like, when it comes to my life, it's not up for a goddamn debate or exchange of words. You know, we're not having a conversation about should black people die, should black people not die in the street. That's not a 5 minute segment and on to the commercial. It's real life to me. When this fucking commercial goes off, I still have to live this shit, so it's not funny and to me. And shit like this make me mad. I hate that television has got to this point to when it comes to real issues, instead of actually being nuanced and talking about it and actually having real discussions about it, we have fucking Don Lemon coming up here talking about, should we say the goddamn N-word?
By race is still here, and this is how Democrats do the deal.
I don't care how they voted 50 years ago. I care about who they killed.
And I care about American history. It counts.
You have stood with Don.
What? And I care about American history. It counts. Like, that's not what the fuck the discussion is right now. Mm-mm. But it's anything to avoid the topic right now.
Right.
And you have made a case for Donald Trump when nobody else wanted to. And you've earned the respect of an awful lot of people. But when you do not acknowledge that he did not answer that question with the passion he's answered with other terrorist organizations, you do yourself a disservice. You do your kids a disservice.
He has made this point over and over and over again. This is a media thing here. Did he make a mistake when he sure, but he has said this many, many times. I've gone back and looked. He's well on record over and over and over again.
It's worse than that, sir. It's worse than that. That whole thing with those Central Jogger kids, he got the entire city of New York whipped up on this idea that these kids had done something wrong. And then when it turned out they were innocent, we all make mistakes.
Right.
He never apologized to those kids. And that's a stain on him. And you can walk through time after time where he's done stuff like that. The stuff he said about Native Americans being, you know, criminal organizations and mafias. He said so many things.
What you're doing right here, what you're doing here is dividing people. We're all Americans here.
We're already divided, dog. Like, so what? If we didn't talk about the things that he said, we wouldn't be divided? That's what's so amazing. It's like, when you can opt out of the discussion, you get to say shit like, well, you're being divisive right now. It's like, no, when you're being divisive because of the comments that you made, me bringing it up, forcing you to address it, is how we can get back together, how we can have some closure.
Right, but bringing it up is the problem.
Right. But we can't have closure if it's never discussed.
Mm-mm.
And especially if you meant that shit. You know, it's kind of like the thing I was saying about Asian people with Chris Rock yesterday. People were calling them divisive. I was like, that's not divisive.
Mm-mm.
If he said a joke that they felt offended by, who the fuck are you to tell them they can't be offended by it?
Come on now.
That's just goddamn stupid, because when it comes to us, we definitely don't listen to people telling us you can't be offended. You don't get to do that.
Nope.
You were dividing people. This is what liberals do. You were dividing people by race. This is what liberalism is all about.
The Klan divides people by race.
You have to divide by race.
The Klan kill people by race, and he had the opportunity, and he did it.
And they did it. They did it to further the progressive agenda.
Why did you? No, listen, that is, first of all, so absurd.
It is not
the Democratic Party of the South in the old days was a racist party, and you are correct, sir. They were a violent party, and you are correct,
sir. How do you think we got Woodrow Wilson elected?
But hold on a second. Hold on a second. That's not the Democratic Party of today. So what are you talking about that for?
Right.
You played these games.
It is the Democratic Party of today. Games. The Democratic Party of today divides by race.
I have a kid, 7 years old.
Right.
He can't even watch the. I used to let one and say, I don't want you watching the Kardashians. I want you watching the news so you can learn something. You know what? Watching all this nonsense in your party, he turns around and he says, you know, Dad, you're a liar. He doesn't even know what the word means, but he sees so much vitriol from your party.
Right.
He brings that into our house. Now we got to have him watch, you know, Nick Jr. He can't even absorb civics because of what's going on in your party. The circus wing in your party. Do not play and tell Donald Trump. I know you. I trust you. Tell Donald Trump. He needs, for my children's sake, for the children's sake of America, if he's going to leave this country, he needs to be as passionate about what has happened
to people
in my community as anybody else.
We have to be passionate about making sure that, as Robert Kennedy used to say, that this country is colorblind. We have to, as President Kennedy used to say in that Birmingham speech, that race has no place in American life or law. That's what we have to do, and we have lost that totally because the Democratic Party insists on dividing people by race, and it's wrong. It's morally wrong.
Right. Well, I think this is going well.
So, yeah, mission accomplished for that guy. He didn't learn shit, you know?
Nope.
Like, everybody's trying to write these headlines like, Trump apology, smackdown. I'm like, no, it wasn't no smackdown. Like, you, because you agree with Van Jones, you feel very strongly that he won. But there's no winning with ignorance. There's no winning with racism. The only way to win is to blot it out and to make sure these people don't get their agendas and don't get their way. But the fact that you provided this person a platform to go spew their racism and mm-hmm. to defend Donald Trump already lost the discussion, you know, to be honest. But at any rate, another thing I was going to say, it all brings it full circle. That conversation right there that Van Jones just had with that guy is essentially the same kind of conversation that ended my friendship with white people, basically. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? As far as my white friend, male friends list that we used to have an email list. Mm-hmm. It was that level of conversation where I remember just being like, because they were talking shit about Hillary or something on the email chain. And they're all older, white, conservative dudes at this point. And I remember being like... Are y'all seriously considering Trump as a better candidate than Hillary Clinton? And they're like, yeah, he don't have any experience, but that's because he's new, he's fresh, and all. And I was like, but y'all said when Barack Obama didn't have experience that was bad. You know, y'all said, y'all are like the Tea Party, y'all are against big business. This dude's the most biggest business dude.
The biggest
possible.
One.
Like, it's like y'all are hypocrites at this point, at the very least. And, you know, and like I said, it got to the point where within a few emails, somebody's questioning or trying to talk shit about my job and my livelihood. And it got personal. And I was just like, yo, this is just racist. There's no other way
right.
to accept this. And I can't have this shit in my life. You know, the other week, it's been like 2 or 3 weeks now. I had a post that, you know, about Beyonce on Facebook, and it was one of those police chiefs being like, we're not gonna work security for Beyonce or whatever. And this guy from the friends list was like, hey man, you know, she doesn't feel, the police officers don't like what she stands for, then I mean, it's overtime for them, it's optional, they don't got to do it. And I was like, well, what did she say that was anti-police?
Right.
Well, she had a tribute to the Black Panthers in there, and I was like, why would that be anti-police? Why he said it was pro police violence or something like that, pro violence against police. And I said, why would that be pro violence against police when Black Panthers stood for self-defense? Well, no, they were a violent organization. I said, okay. And then in the same sentence, he said, why don't you come hang out? He said, forget about this. Why don't you come hang out with us anymore or something? Mm-hmm. And I said, one, this is why.
Come on, dog.
This ignorance right here, as you're dismissing me, as you're dismissing something very important to me, as you're dismissing. Because I said, I have a Black Panthers t-shirt. You think I'm fucking pro-violence towards police? What kind of shit is that? You know what I mean? Like, have you even thought about your position? Two, it's extremely ignorant. You don't even know what the Black Panther stood for or did.
A lot of people don't.
And I sent him links and said, look, you can educate yourself on this. Mm-mm. And we can have this discussion on equal footing where you now know something because you fucking just went off without having any idea. I haven't got a reply back, Aaron. That's been 3 weeks.
You won't, and you will not. He probably will never hit you up again.
Because at the end of the day, he can opt out of it.
Right.
He can even opt out of our friendship. Mm-hmm. That's how much... the privilege of just being this white man is to in his life. He can just be like, well, we just won't be friends because I'll never have an answer for this question, or I'll come around 6 months later and try to talk about some other shit, but I won't ever forget this shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I won't ever get to this, like, this colorblind shit. I will never respect that. And then especially when you're sitting around saying wrong shit and then running away from the conversation because you don't want to educate yourself. Yeah, man, we can't be friends. We're not friends. You know, we are divided. And we can't get together. If you don't want to learn anything about me, then we can't be friends. And I think that is part of this discussion that just goes kind of like, we see the broader discussion on CNN and Van Jones talks to this guy. But just in your life, there's so many people that don't know you.
Right.
When it comes to interracial friendships, mm-hmm. there's so many white people that, you know, by default, pretty much every minority in America knows white people. It's not really, it's not really an option that we have in most places in the United States to not know white people. It's because it's the culture, it's the dominant culture, it's what's on TV, it's what's on the radio, it's what's on everything. So like, it's very difficult for any to attain any level of success without knowing how to navigate white culture. If you're gonna want a bank loan at some point, if you're gonna want a job at some point, the vast majority of the time you're gonna have to go into some white spaces. But the opposite isn't true. You know, like, so it's a lot of times where there are white people who do want to know minority people and marginalized cultures, and that's dope when they reach out and do that, which, you know, I would call friendship. I think that's what every friendship should exist of, right?
Correct.
But they don't have to. You know, it's just like how as a man, I don't have to get to know shit about women and what, you know, there's a lot of men right now that go, well, I don't know what's wrong with calling a woman a queen. I call any woman queen. I mean, they do blah, blah, blah. And then when the women are like, no, this is offensive to me, I don't like it, it's patronizing, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of men who just go, oh, that bitch tripping. And they just keep doing whatever they want to do.
Right.
And a lot of women do end up staying friends with those people because it's like, well, it's either this or just don't have male friends, because there's most men are like this. Or, you know, not the queen thing exactly, but most men are very dismissive of women's issues, period. It's very much, oh, these bitches tripping, and they just move to the next thing.
Yeah, they've actually done studies and statistics that say when women speak, most men actually zone and tune them out, and it's harder for them to actually listen to women. Like, they've done studies about that shit. So a lot of men actually just tune women out because it's a woman.
Huh? What? Whatever you're talking about. Anyway. So anyway, I was talking. But in a lot of these cases, people do that shit. And I think that's kind of what privilege is. It just enables us to be able to just, you know, hear the Charlie Brown voice whenever some shit isn't about us, right? So yeah, I think this Donald Trump shit is the ultimate extent of that. And there's a lot of people that, you know, via Facebook, via Twitter, via email, via real life, via work, there's a lot of people that think they're friends, but
they're not.
No. Their actions, their votes, their attitudes, their beliefs are anti you.
Yes, they are. Because like, a lot of times when I'm at work, I just put my headphones on, listen to podcasts, and just go to work. Because the thing I realized about work, I'm there to get a paycheck. I'm not there to talk about my political beliefs and all this other bullshit. Because most people, especially if you live in corporate America, every year, every other year, when you get hired, they make you go through these fucking dumb ass things where they say, don't talk about religion. They tell you this, don't talk about politics. We got rules and regulations. They tell you this, but yet you have some person, normally a white person, who wants to go around and tell everybody how they against abortions and how they don't drink or don't smoke and how they frown upon everybody and shit like that. And I just keep quiet. Another day, somebody came to me and they was talking about the, policy with the LGBTQ, like the bathrooms and things like that. They, what was that law? They passed an ordinance here that says that transgender people can go to any restroom, you know, that they choose to, according to what their sexuality. And I had heard about it, but I was like, okay. So one of my coworkers, he came to me, he was like, did you hear about that? And I said, no, I didn't hear nothing about that. He told me about it, and just the way he was talking, you know, he was talking like they were other and those people. And like, I was like, well, we'll see. He was like, well, you know, they're gonna fight. I was like, well, we'll see. And I just kept it like that. But it's one of those things where he made the assumption that I was in agreement with him.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, well, even in that situation, you know, if you know, you're already at work, you're right, in a situation where conflict is not something you want to do.
Nope.
But I remember at my last job, I had stopped giving a fuck.
Yeah,
I just don't give a fuck anymore. We're too old.
Yeah,
to care. Like, I'm not gonna be bullied at work. I'm an adult, and it's just weird. Fucking, we've come too far, and I live what I say. I'm tired of being the person that's right but quiet.
Yeah.
Because we let wrong people be loud and wrong all the time, and we all roll our eyes and we all wink, wink. And when they walk away, you look at your other coworker and you both go, girl, wasn't he? And I'm tired of that shit. I just got tired. Yeah, you know, that, I remember.
It does get old.
Yeah, my old job, people bring up shit about religion and shit, and I just go, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in that. Well, oh, I mean, I didn't know. Well, yeah, well, maybe don't run off with the fucking mouth. Right. You don't know me. You don't know me. You didn't take the time to get to know me. I don't believe all the same shit you do. You know what I mean? None of us do.
A lot of people do that as small talk, and it's one of those things where, and I know, and maybe it's just me, and maybe just because of all my just various different experiences at work, I'm here to fucking work. Work. I'm here to work. If I make a relationship with you, great. But my whole job is not to come here and make fucking friends with you. The only thing we got in common with is this job. If you leave or I leave, we will never talk again with most people at their jobs.
Right. I agree. I understand. That's my attitude as well. But still, there's people that don't do that. And then when they do, when they don't, people tolerate it. And that's why they go around and get louder and louder.
Right.
And they say worse and worse shit. Nobody reports them to HR. Nobody ever writes up, hey, this person said this shit to me. It's offensive. I prefer for them not to talk about this shit at work. You know, and very rarely will these people get checked. I mean, we had this lady, Miss Debbie, when I first got a job out of college, and she was running for like some local Republican office or something. And she was extremely fucking, like, everything, you know, racist, homophobic, everything, you know. And she wouldn't come out and, you know, all the dog whistle politic words, you know, all the, you know, the Rush Limbaugh listening type shit that she would say. And she would go around and tell that shit to people. And because I was, like, 21 coming out of college, like, I just didn't even, like, I just took it like, well, this is just, I guess, part of the job, part of working with people, right? Is you got people like this, and when she leaves, we all go ha ha ha. But no, man, like, now as an adult, I'm like, I know better. She didn't have to be that way. Nope. And now that I know that, I'm like, fuck that. Right. You know, and this shit happens all the time. When I'm at the basketball court, somebody will say something, and after, you know, like, people were making jokes about Odell Beckham Jr. Like, oh, that nigga gay, man, he a faggot. Yeah, why are you saying that? First of all, what would be wrong with him being gay? And most of the time when you check somebody on shit like this, they're so unprepared for that check, because nobody has checked them. Mm-hmm. Everybody just laughs it off, chucks it up, walks away, rolls their eyes. Very few people come out and just say, yeah, man, you being real ignorant right now. How do you know? When the Odell Beckham thing, I was like, how do you know somebody in here isn't gay? You know, you could be playing, well, are you gay? I could be. You don't fucking know.
Right.
You don't know is my point.
Right. You just run off at your mouth.
And we have this ignorance. And the one thing about Trump, the only good thing about Trump is you get to see the real time, real live ignorance that is just out there, that is pervasive, and there's names and faces attached to it now.
Right.
And there's rallies, and they're beating people, and they're kicking people out for being different than them, and all this shit. And it ain't much different. I'm glad that it's been exposed on the left too. I'm glad when I see shit like, they kicked the black people out of the Bernie Sanders rally. I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah, all right. I see y'all, you know, like the game recognized game. For a lot of this shit. Anyway, welcome to the Black Guy with Tips podcast. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Search the Black Guy with Tips. Shout out to everybody that tried to skip all that shit so they can get to the Walking Dead recap.
they had to fast forward for a hot minute. Oh, like, man. I'm at this they still talking about that shit.
I'm at this Trump rally. Goddamn. Bobby Schmurder been in jail 441 days. Official weapon is
the taser.
Unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
The Bullet Ball Extreme. This podcast is brought to you by triple sponsors. Podcast brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. The Rod and Karen audio play album, Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, that you've heard so much about, isn't just on iTunes. If you hate iTunes and want to give a couple of your dollars to some other people, check out Amazon.com. That's right. You can buy it on Amazon.com. You just got to put in Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, and it'll come up, and buy that bad boy, and Shadow Dog gets some money, and they continue to, you know, leave them a review on Amazon, let them know that continuing to sponsor us is a worthwhile endeavor. Mm-hmm. Also, this podcast is brought to you by Bevel. That's right. This podcast is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. And lastly, thirdly, we have a little bit of a sexier sponsor. If I can find some sexy music, let's see, how about this?
How about some, what's this, Christmas music?
Hey, I know
that sound like Christmas to you. Hey, this episode is also brought to you by, wait a minute, where'd it go? Damn it. It's also brought to you by AdamandEve.com. I don't know what I did with the copy. It's brought to you by AdamandEve.com.
You probably got it memorized by now.
You can get 10 free things. Adam and Eve wants to hook you up going into March with 10 free gifts. That's right. First, they give you a sexy little surprise for her. Secondly, they give you something for him, specially selected toy for him. Third, they give you something that you both can enjoy. But that's not all, guys. In addition to those three gifts, they also give you 6 free, count them, full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. What do you have to do to get these 10 free gifts? Not hard. Go to adamandeve.com, select any one item. Could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code TBGWT at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out adamandeve.com today. Select one item, get 10 free gifts, including free shipping. When you enter offer code TBGWT, that's TBGWT at adamandeve.com. All right, play me out, King. All right. Now let's get to what all the white people have been patiently waiting for.
Mm-hmm. Enough of that black shit. And everybody got 100.
I'm like, I don't even have to care about these things. Y'all lucky I'm listening.
Right. Look at how press play. Look at y'all. Jiggaboos is funny.
Walking Dead, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Episode number 11 of season 6, Knots Untie. In this episode, we go to the hilltop, y'all. We get to see what Jesus's actual motivation is. Mm-hmm. And it shows our Rick's crew, our protagonist, the way, the truth, and the light. It's only through him shall salvation come. And they take a little road trip, y'all.
Yeah, they do.
Pack up the 6 packs, get in the RV, and we're going to the hilltop.
Yeah, Jesus was sitting there. Carl was like, he cocked that gun like, what the fuck you doing up in here, bitch?
Mm-hmm. So, it was a cool episode. Karen, what did you think about Knots Untie?
I loved it.
All right, Karen was a big fan. I also was a big fan. I gotta say, man, if you quit the show, man, did you fuck up?
Because I am thrilled. I don't know where they're taking me, but I am excited.
feel like they totally salvaged it from the Glenn thing. Like, not that I still feel like that's a jump the shark moment. It'll never like get anybody's trust again.
Correct.
But as an entertaining show, yeah, it totally salvaged that. Like, it's entertaining as fuck again. That was fast. Anyway, we'll see what happens. But Knots Untie, let's go ahead and give it our full recap, you know, scene by scene, piece by piece. This puzzle comes together. Sever your ties from the bad guys. Let the lies show. If you want to be a hoe, go ahead and don't be scared. Many a bitch represents and is led. Anyway, so this episode starts with something that, and I think the cliffhanger was more like people, and I think it's just because the world they live in is so treacherous. People were more worried about that cliffhanger than I think they had any right to be. Because if Jesus was going to do something to him, he would have just done it to him while they were asleep.
Right, because he basically had went around the whole goddamn town. He knew how much.
Well, they didn't know all that. Okay. The cliffhanger was he was snuck in the room and said, Rick, wake up.
Yeah, yeah.
And they hopped out of bed. Right. And I'm saying, if he was up to no good,
he'd have took them out.
Why the fuck do you, hey, buddy, hey, guys, I'm going to wait till you finish having sex. All right, wake up. You know, I just pictured him out in the hallway waiting for them to finish having sex.
He probably was.
It's like, all right, I guess they're done. Let me go on. And oh no, they're still going. All right, few more minutes. But yeah, he was. You know, he. They basically started off with right where they left off with Rick holding the gun and Michelle holding the sword, and Jesus saying, "Hey, we need to talk." You know, that was the end of that episode. So we come into this episode with Abe and Sasha coming in from patrol.
Yep.
And we know the last time that we really saw them spending time together, Abe tried to holler at Sasha.
Right. And she was like, if you want to get with me, you need to check with your boo and mm-hmm. get that together before me and you can do anything.
Right. You got some side chick business.
To take care of,
and I'm not about to be singing no Brandy and Monica up in here.
Mm-mm. Ain't no boy, it's mine. Mm-mm.
Right. Like, you need, I'm not Shirley, okay? Mm-mm. So this is not how it's going down.
My name is not Susan.
Right. So he said, you know, they had a little conversation. He was giving war stories about a camel that ate some keys to a eight Hummer or some shit. And he was like, we had to wait for it to shit the keys out. I shit you not. She was like, what? Camels don't eat keys? And... you know, they was having a good little conversation. I thought it was cool. You know, like, they're becoming, like, friends. I mean, mm-hmm. It wasn't that long ago Sasha was drop dead crazy.
Yeah.
Sleeping on zombie mattresses and shit.
Right.
Zombie postopedic and shit. And then fucking...
Did she have a zombie number?
Hmm?
Did she have a zombie
number? Yeah, I know. What's your zombie number? 95.
I can only do 3, girl.
What's your zombie IQ? But yeah, so they, you know, they were having this discussion or whatever, and he was basically like, hey man, shit was real out there in the war zone and stuff, and you know, I'm sure she's tired of this desert story. She probably heard them all 100 times, but she was smiling. She seemed entertained.
Yeah, she did.
She seemed like she was enjoying spending time with Abe, and I was like, oh, maybe they fucking already or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But then I felt like we got the answer right away, because Abe was like, well, I'll see you tomorrow for patrol. And Sasha said, nah.
And he looked so sad. He was looking like, what you mean, no?
Right. And she said, actually, I'm not going to be out for patrol tomorrow. I'm going to go with Eugene and, you know, teach him the ropes, kind of, and... I'm gonna be taking different shifts instead of the ones that you're on, so we won't be kicking it no more. And he looked really disappointed. Mm-hmm. And they also, right before they had this discussion, Abe saw some kids running around in the perimeter of Alexandria. And I think he also started thinking about the future and stuff. And he was asking her about, you know, like, the Glenn and them having kids, and it isn't it all kind of crazy to even make plans for the future? And I think what at least this is how I put it together. I think Abe likes Sasha because she was living so dangerously and recklessly, like she didn't have a future, and like it was all just in the moment. And then he started feeling that way last season, and I think he became kind of attracted to her because he was like, well, you don't give a fuck and I don't give a fuck. And then at some point she just was like, I give a fuck again. You know, it's like when you get with a girl who's like, I used to suck so many dicks.
So many, dog.
Oh my God. I would be sucking dicks all the time. I would suck your dick if I met you a minute ago, but it's been 2 minutes since then. I don't suck dick no more.
The dough shut.
Right. Like they just call me the dick sucking queen. That was my middle name. But yeah, so I feel like he got with her thinking, or not got with her, but he made his pitch towards her thinking like, well, you crazy and I'm crazy, we should be together because fuck it, YOLO. And she's like, actually, I'm not on that shit.
Right. And she was like, and you need to come back to reality too.
Right. Not just that, but I'm definitely not no side chick.
Mm-mm.
So and Sasha is bae. I mean, she'll make you want to change your life.
Right. She was like, you better call Tyrone before you mess with me.
Right. So what I noticed is in this scene, when he starts talking about the kids and stuff, and when he asked her, is she coming to patrol the next day, her face looked a little bit, I don't know, like she was trying to give him a chance to say something. He didn't say it. And then she just went in her mind like, boom, that was the moment. He didn't say it. I give up. I got to distance myself from this guy.
Right.
And she basically let him know, I'm totally not kicking it with you anymore. And she hit him with the peace sign and backed up. And that was so funny. I wish I had that gif.
She did.
I need that gif, however you pronounce it. I need that bad in my life. That Sasha peace sign moonwalk gif. That joint was so good.
She was like, I'm all right, we cool. I'm out.
He hit her with the peace sign back. It's like, I need that gif and I need the nigga, please.
Yes, I want that one.
Johnny Cochran. but yeah, so Abe totally whiffed on that move, and then you know, she leaves or whatever, and we kind of see this image in his mind of her leaving, and we see his face close up, and it's a montage, and he's actually now in bed with Rosita, and she's talking to him like, yeah, are you there? What's going on? Where are you at? And you realize he's in bed thinking about Sasha.
Right. And the fucked up part about it, I almost forgot he was in Rosita. I was like, what the hell he doing? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right. And it was like seconds. It was like post-coitus. Like, it was like seconds after the orgasm. He's like, but that goddamn Sasha. And I guess if you live in a world without porn, you know, you just gonna, he was probably having sex with her thinking about Sasha. Who knows?
And I think, too, my personal opinion, I don't think he was ever in love with Rosita. I think he got with Rosita because he was like, well, hey, you're somebody I can have sex with, but I'm not really going to have feelings for you because I might die any minute and you might die any minute. I already lost my wife. I already lost my kids. So there's no reason in having this quote-unquote connection with you.
With who?
Rosita? Right. I think his initial feelings
I
like
definitely,
that.
I definitely, yes, I related to that. I definitely relate to that. Like, last season or two seasons ago, it even felt that way. I mean, like I said, he fucked her and let Eugene watch because he was just like, fuck it. None of this is important to me.
Because he had no respect for her.
Yeah, he's like, it's zombie time. My wife and family have been eaten. Like, this is all just fucking whatever. And I don't even think it was disrespect for her. I just think he doesn't give a fuck even about himself in a large part.
Correct.
He just doesn't care. It's like, whatever gets us to the next day, that's it.
And then once everybody found out Eugene lied and he realized he didn't have a purpose, that's right. When he snapped.
Yeah, he seems like a man who just needs a mission.
Right.
That's the thing that keeps him going, is these missions. And the idea of settling down and building a new world with the zombie, you know, virus still being out there, I think that'll always turn him off. Because he's like, that's not a mission.
Right.
Like, a mission is get from point A to point B. A mission is kill this guy. A mission is build this thing. But you know, a mission isn't now let's go get buy houses and have kids and settle down. I tried that and the world took that from me.
Right.
So why try that again? And, you know, you can see he's totally out of it. And I felt so bad for Rosita in this scene because she's totally like in love with this dude.
Yeah. And, you know, I never really thought about it, but I realized that I think that she thought he was dead. Because remember when she was up on top of the lookout thing and Deanna's son came up there and she was over there crying and shit, and I didn't realize it at the time. I was like, what's she sad for? But now rethinking of it, I was thinking that she was thinking about him and she was missing him because he wasn't there, and she didn't know, nobody knew if anybody from that crew had survived. So I think that she was maybe mourning under the assumption that he was dead, he might not come back, because she didn't know at that time.
Yeah, it's possible, definitely possible. And Rosita plays a lot of stuff very close to the vest, so it's not like she would tell anybody or talk about it, really.
Right.
So anyway, while they're in bed having small talk, we find out Rosita's going to teach Eugene how about guns, and he's going to teach her about chemistry. And you know, Abe makes a joke like, "Yeah, he the, you know, I'll teach you about some chemistry or something." Like, he don't know anything about chemistry. And you know, they start kissing a little bit. She gets out of bed, hands him a necklace that she made out of a tail light, a broken tail light, and he said, "You know, you damn near perfect or something. You damn close to perfect or something." And she says, "Show me in the shower." And right before he gets ready to get out of bed to go, I guess, fuck her in the shower, he has another flashback of Sasha making that peace sign. And you just know she's in his head, man.
Yes, she is.
Everybody on this show trying to get down with the swirl, dog.
Chocolate and vanilla.
Black women coming up, swipe right. Everybody going on blackpeoplemeet.com on this show, dog.
Right.
Yeah, he's trying to, you know, and I just felt like poor Rosita, you know, like she's basically just dating Peter Guns. It's just, you know, I'm expecting Tasha and Amina to show up next week.
Poor thing.
You know, but he was lying, and I will say this, you can tell Abe doesn't want to hurt Rosita.
Right.
He doesn't want to be the bad guy.
Right, like he cares about her, but he don't care about her like that.
Yeah. We cut to Glenn and Maggie. Maggie's in the farm, which makes sense. She's in the field trying to make crops
right, that's
grow. The, I mean, she has a farming background.
Right, but so that's all she did her whole life.
Right, but it's not working, and she's feeling very discouraged, and she's stressed about these plants, and she doesn't know if they're going to grow, and it won't, if it'll be enough, and... One thing it made me think was, I feel like that's almost like a metaphor for the seed that was planted inside of her by Glenn. You know, that's his old whiz, that's his old earth, and he the God body, he put that seed in her, and the seed, you know, comes from the earth, and it grows just like plants. And if you do the math on that shit, you understand, you just gotta do your lessons.
When did this become a hotep lesson?
Do the knowledge, Karen, okay? Think about it. You need seeds to grow from the earth, you know, and the man grants her the wisdom, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's how it happens.
Because she the queen.
She is the queen, and he is the king. Plus, you know, the lunar cycle has 28 days, 28 divided by 7. Is 4, and then 4 is the knowledge of what?
Mm-mm.
4 equals knowledge of self.
Mm-mm.
And of course, 7. Mm-mm. 7 equals perfection. Mm-mm. You know, so. Mm-mm.
3 is the Trinity.
3, of course, is the, well, yeah, of course.
7 is completeness.
7 is complete. So you know how to do the knowledge yourself. You better knowledge yourself. so we cut back to, oh, and then while they're talking, they see some people over in walking out the street who realize that Jesus has risen from his tomb.
Yes, he rose from the dead.
Apparently, it's the third day.
And nobody told them.
Yeah, they try. They're like, "Where's Jesus?"
Yeah.
Jesus out there walking around, y'all.
Yeah, because the doctor lady she came and ran up and was grabbing people, and everybody just started running down there. It was like, what the fuck did he have? What did he run off to?
Right. Meanwhile, we cut to Jesus, who's sitting in the hallway waiting for Rick and Michonne to get dressed.
looking at the pictures like he at the art museum.
Right. And Carl rolled up behind him, put the gun to his head, and was like, the hell you doing in my house, homeboy?
Right. He's like, you ain't the only ninja, bitch.
And he said, I'm waiting on your parents. I said, that's not his parents. And then Rick came running out of the room, and then
with no shirt,
still buckling his pants. And then Michonne comes running right behind him,
tugging at her shirt and shit.
Right. And Carl seen it, and my favorite part of that is if you watch it in slow motion, Rick looks back at Michonne and then tries to not look at her, like be casual, like, cause you know, like, Carl don't know they fucking, so he try to be like, be cool, don't disturb the boy.
Right, like, this is the first time we don't know how to respond to this.
Yeah, like, nigga, everybody know y'all fucking, it's right. Cool. And then in addition to that, it was almost like a sitcom moment, cause they had the, damn, we ain't really supposed to be fucking. That's why I'm not sure that she, like, maybe she lives there, but she definitely ain't been in that bedroom.
No, she had been in that bedroom.
Yeah, because like
she's actually been underneath the roof the whole time. I think some people, like, from the very beginning, she has always stayed with them. They just have not been in the same bedroom like that.
Okay, because everybody put it together as soon as they saw them. Like, it wasn't even like, well, y'all are roommates, and this there's nothing strange.
Nah.
Every single person was like, oh, y'all been fucking.
Right, we just don't know how long.
I don't know how they know that they've been fucking necessarily, but they knew.
They may have picked up on the chemistry or something like that, and it was like, hey, nigga, you ain't got no shirt on.
Yeah.
Buckle in your pants.
Yeah, well, whatever. Everybody figured it out. That's all I'm saying. I don't know how, if she been living there, maybe her room on the bottom floor. I don't know. What I do know is every single person was like, these niggas fucking. So Jesus was there, and everybody ran in, guns pointed at him.
Oh,
I'm like, is everyone gonna shoot him at the same time? What are we doing?
About to be a shootout.
Right. So they go have breakfast with some Jesus, and they give him, he tells him he enjoyed the oatmeal cookie and his compliments to the chef, and Daryl said she ain't here. And Jesus said, basically, look, I was wrong for stealing y'all truck, but y'all look like two people I didn't want no trouble with, so I thought I would steal y'all's truck and bring it back to my people. And Rick was like, well, that was some bullshit. Him and Daryl share a look, and he says, but during the night, you know, when I got loose, I did some reconnaissance around here and shit. I saw the armory. Y'all got guns. Y'all got a lot of people. Y'all had, what, 54 people? Carol said more. And I think Jesus got it on the, it's probably 54 people.
Right. He probably counted. It wouldn't surprise me if he probably didn't go through house by house and count the people.
Yeah.
In ninja style. Like, he actually probably could tell you how many children were in the whole community.
Yeah. I don't even think anybody's out on runs right now. If he say 54, it's 54, y'all. It's 54. Right. Like, Carol just tried to make it sound like, we got millions of people. You don't know. Don't attack us. Mm-mm. And he was just like, it's me, baby. It's Jesus. I don't want no problems. Mm-mm. I'm just saying, y'all got 54. I pray God told me.
You act like I don't know.
Right. It would have been funny if he would have said something to Carol. He was like, Carol, I'm sorry your daughter's dead. She was like, what?
My child.
That's right. I'm really Jesus. Anyway, he was like, all right, cool. Whatever number y'all say. The point being, y'all can handle yourselves. Y'all got weapons. Y'all don't look like y'all have a lot of food. Y'all do have a lot of mouths to feed. So y'all should come with me back to my people. We're looking for partners to trade with. And they were, and Rick said, why should I believe you? And he was like, man, your world is about to get a whole lot bigger. And then they played that cool ass Walking Dead theme music and went to commercial. And I was like, cool. Cause the crew needs to start building a civilization.
Yeah.
And the thing about this show that I think this show does so well, but I'm not really sure if people pick up on it. But the show is about world building. It's like an RPG.
Yeah.
Role-playing game, I mean.
You get so many health points.
Well, not just health points or whatever, but like you're building something. Like you're, like the goal is to build a world. Okay. You know, let's take over this area. And then this, you know, so the whole time, like from the beginning, it was, let me find my family and get with this group. You know, then it was, let's go to the CDC and see if there's a cure. There's not. Okay, let's live on this farm. That's not big enough and it falls apart. Okay, let's live in this prison. Okay, too many people want this and it falls apart. Okay, now we have this housing situation where we have a fenced-in community. Okay, we can live here, but people come in and want to take it, and now they're trying to build sustainability. We need other things. We need food. We need other things. Oh, now the next logical level in building this world is we barter with other communities. That's the next level. There's got to be other people going through the same type of story and the same type of struggle all over the place, choosing different paths and different ways of coordinating.
Right, but it's just one of those things where they never thought of it like that. They just thought that, you know, because the world is so fucked up, you don't really think about that. You just go around and see if you can find other people, not realizing that some of these people may be a part of the communities.
Right. You had a hospital where they had indentured servitude. You had terminus where they ate people. You know, like, the thing is, in this world-building scenario, it's very treacherous because you run into people that do all kinds of fuck shit. So we're automatically distrustful of everything, but at the same time, the most unpredictable thing they can do on this show is have trustworthy people. If you think about it, Alexandria has been the entire group of Rick and them fucking up a perfect paradise.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, they were their own worst enemies as far as protagonists go.
Particularly Rick.
Yeah, just the group in general. They did not trust. They didn't necessarily conform. They were always down on the people from Alexandria. They didn't want to train them. They didn't want to make them better. They were going to just take their shit at some point. Like, all those were self-created problems. The Alexandrians never had an ace up their sleeve. There was never a catch to what they were doing.
True.
You know what I mean? It was always just like an earnest group of people recruiting people, and then the people they recruited are like wolves. Like, this is like, I eat everything. I kill everybody. So it was kind of interesting if you think of it that way.
Right. To see the change in them.
Right. And I think every time they do go through something like that, they learn something. You know, Terminus taught them to be cautious and careful. Alexandria taught them everybody ain't like Terminus.
Right.
And if you think about it, it can't be that many Terminus. You just have to think, a collection of motherfuckers that eat people, like, at some point you have to be like, yeah, that's probably not the way to go. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably not five Terminuses. Like, it's like those motherfuckers are like a cult. Like, the vast majority of people would not just be like, you know what, let's just eat people. Like, most people would be like, that's a fucking ridiculous thing, let's catch some deer or something, I don't know. Anyway, so in this situation, Jesus is coming across kind of trustworthy, but you have to be cautious because it could be a Terminus, but at the same time, the likelihood of that is so much lower now.
Correct.
We're not gonna do two Terminuses in this show, right? So Jesus and Rick's group get ready to leave. I think Denise makes oat cake for Daryl. I think it's a way of thanking him for thinking about her and that pop and all that stuff.
Yes.
And he was being a dick about it.
He didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah, he said, I hope it doesn't take. So she was basically like, man, because you're going to get rabies. He said, we'll make a pit stop. I'll pick up something. She was like rabies. And then she said, don't go out there and eat some roadkill. I don't know if those are just stereotypes talking or if that's something Daryl's actually done. But she was like, you know, eat the cake.
Right. Eat shit off the side of the road. She's like, no.
Yeah. And somebody told me it's like, he doesn't think he likes Denise because she doesn't help, da 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 da. And I was like, he wouldn't have got her that pop. I mean, pretty much the pop was the whole reason the truck got jacked. I mean,
all right.
I don't think he would have helped her. He would have got that for her if he really felt that she was just a dick.
Nah, the thing about Daryl, Daryl has had odd conversations with a lot of people in the community, not just her. Him and Eugene, like, it don't mean he don't like them. He has odd conversation with certain people.
Mm-hmm. So, he had a conversation with Aaron that was awkward as fuck.
Right.
Anyway, so, he probably thought it was nasty. He said it looked like shit. But anyway, she ate it. I mean, you know, he gonna eat it. Carl was cool about Rick and Michonne. Rick was like, I would have told you, but it just happened. I have time. And he was like, it's cool, man. Okay. I understand about love and everything. Mm-hmm. I got one eye. Nothing is promised no more.
But I can see that clearly.
Right. Right. He was like, look, man, the way shit is going, ain't nobody got time to be arguing about this shit.
He looked at him like, daddy, you grown, and I don't care. In his mind, he was like, y'all probably, he didn't say it, but it wouldn't surprise me. He was like, I already thought y'all were fucking.
Right. Plus, he trying to find his own woman.
Right.
You know, you looking over at Enid like.
RGF Productions.
Yeah. 1738. Hey, I'm like, hey, what's up? Hello.
Hey, look, Betty Carl is about that love, man. He understands. He ain't trying to nitpick with Rick. Mm-mm. Plus, he like Michonne. So it's like, of all the people, she ain't got no fucked up stepkids you gotta adopt.
Come on now.
That I gotta kill, you know, that shot me in my face. Like, you doing good, daddy.
Yes, in fact, y'all saved my life, so.
And also, if anyone on the show realized there's no time or luxury for teen angst anymore, mm-mm, it's Fetty Carl. Fetty Carl, no.
Fetty Carl been shot twice. He know about that.
He like, life ain't promised.
Yeah, first time I got shot by a hunter trying to shoot a deal.
All right, these other kids, they can do the, you know, they can do that shit, but nah. Fetty Carl, mm-mm. He also said a kid with a messed up face probably wouldn't make the best first impression anyway, because he's such a grown up. But I was shocked that Rick didn't at least say, come on, man, don't do that to yourself. Come on, man, you make a great impression. Don't be down on yourself, son.
Yeah, and I think he's still trying to get adjusted. Even though the time jump has been months. I don't think it's been quite a year, but it's been like months.
Yeah, I think they said a month in the last Talking Dead.
Okay.
You know what else though? Remember, Carl's grown up so much because remember he used to want to prove himself so bad he tried to come everywhere with his dad. Mm-hmm. And now Carl's kind of getting into this role like, yo, I'll take care of Judith. He's really, you know, like I understand. And I'm a badass too. So the people here need somebody to protect them. I'll be that guy.
Yeah, and also I think too that. For the fact that Rick was willing to take him. Because normally Rick would be like, nah, not you. He was willing to take him. And I think Carl actually believes that his dad respects him and his ability. It's like one of those things where he doesn't have to prove himself anymore. So it's one of those things like, yeah, daddy, you can go. This right here, I got this right here on lock. Anything happen, you can count on me.
Yeah. And his dad used to be crazy too. So he probably like he need to watch his dad back anymore. Plus he got Michonne going.
Right. He was like, you fuck around the fuck up. She got it.
All
right.
In the RV, Abe asked Glenn about, him having kids. He said, when you're pouring the Bisquick, you trying to make pancakes?
I was like, what the fuck is happening here? I was like, pancake mix? What are we talking about?
I didn't know sperm was called Bisquick.
Me either.
But, makes sense.
What do you do? Add water, shake it up. That's how sperm does. I don't understand this.
I don't know. Rosita and his sex talk gotta be grimy.
Terrible.
Oh, girl, you want this Bisquick on your face?
You want all this batter, girl?
Mm-hmm. Oh, make some silver dollars on your ass, girl. I feel like Glenn and Abe
scrambled.
I feel like Glenn and Abe may need their own show because I remember another time they were talking. And I feel like it was another TMI conversation then, last year, when they were in the library or whatever.
Yes.
So I feel like that's like their thing now.
He just
bring up too much shit and Glenn feels uncomfortable. I feel like that could be a whole podcast or something. But one thing that is being driven home the whole show, because it's not like the second person that Abe has asked about this idea of settling down and children and shit. And I think Abe's biggest fear is losing something again.
Right.
And I think that's what's coming up is Abe he refuses to build a new life to quote unquote settle down. He refuses to be with someone he cares about. He refuses to have children. Because he lost his wife and children, and now he's like, I'll never be hurt if I never love anything again.
Yes, just like Enid.
Enid.
I don't know why I call her Enid.
But yeah, I think that's how he feels. Like, just don't get attached and you'll be fine. But when Jesus is in the building,
when the man walks in the room, he changes the atmosphere.
You can't help but find that love. Say amen.
Amen. He make you feel it.
Mm-hmm. So Jesus was doing his magic in the front. Rick and Michonne was getting all kinds of PDA up front. Rick put his hand on that leg. And they was holding hands. And Jesus was looking on.
It was all sweet.
Wherever two or more gathered, Jesus will be there. And that's when they realized there was a crash in the middle of the road. There was a car wreck. And Rick pulled over. Everybody snapped right into action. They pulled the gun on Jesus. Like, this better not be a trap, or we gonna make sure you die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Jesus was like, I think he said about them my people.
Yeah, because, yeah, well, aren't they all Jesus's people?
Yeah, truly, yes.
You know?
And, you know, and that's the thing. Jesus knows, so he knew the accident just happened and everything.
Right. Like, he knew already. He was just like, this, listen, those are my kids, okay?
I know everything, my child.
Right. So but yeah, he was basically like, look, man, those are my people. And like, I don't know if they hit zombies or they died and became zombies. I don't know what happened.
I think it looked like they may have hit and just turned the vehicles over. Mm-hmm. Look like they may have been driving, or somebody had been attention or something. Like they literally just hit zombies, or a zombie herd came out of nowhere on them, or a small patch,
mm-hmm.
and caused the vehicle to turn over.
Yeah, well, whatever happened, he was 100%. You know, those people were gone, and I feel like Jesus just told them to go on to heaven. You know. Oh, wait, that's not the right one. So he let them go to heaven. And they basically said they were holed up in this building, and Jesus was like, give me a gun. I'll go in there with y'all. And I was like, nigga, we ain't giving you no fucking gun.
We don't trust you like that.
People tried to eat us. Okay,
we know better. We is not gonna be set up for the okie doke.
Yeah, like, what don't you understand? People tried to eat us. We are not about to let that happen, dog.
Mm-mm.
So you got to stay out here. One of us will stay with you. The rest of us will go in, and if it's your people, we'll save them and bring them back out. And Jesus is like, okay. And they left Maggie outside with him and said, if you hear us whistle, you shoot him. And I was thinking, man, hopefully nobody else will whistle by accident.
Right.
Two, y'all gonna leave a pregnant woman out here with Jesus?
Right.
What if her water break?
I don't think she that far along.
I'm just saying. I don't know anything about vaginas. They're a mystery to me.
Ah, just like a penis is to me.
What if it was a premature birth? Now what?
Oh, you're in trouble.
She's just out there with Jesus. I mean, I guess the baby will be in good hands, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it will be. We'll be in great hands.
Yeah. So.
Being holy hands.
Well, he's got the whole world in him.
Yes, he does.
and you know, because they didn't trust him, and he wanted them to trust him, but they couldn't because he had tricked them before more than once.
Right.
You know, Daryl even said, how do we know this ain't firecrackers in the trash can? And Jill's like, yeah, you don't. So they went in and they saved all the people, and it got a little preachy because they was like, we're friends of Jesus, we're here to save you.
Ah!
and they was doing everything but wearing those white shirts and the black ties like the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses.
They had collars on.
It's like, do you know the Lord Jesus? And it's like, that's my homie. And it was like, Jesus is your homie. Let's go.
My homie too.
Jesus is my nigga.
That's the best.
And then they had one dude, like they found three people, and then one dude apparently was injured. They was like, no, we can't leave till we find our injured friend. And Abe was walking down the hallway and he seen this stumbling person and he grabbed him, got ready to stab him in the head, and it was the injured homie.
He about to stab
him. I was like, nigga, it's the zombie apocalypse. What you don't want to do is be stumbling down a dark hallway not using your words.
Ain't that the truth?
Like, he looked like a fucking zombie.
Mm-hmm.
If A would have stabbed him right through the brain, I would have been like, oh, he killed a zombie. I had no one knew. Mm-mm. Even when A grabbed him, he didn't say nothing. He was just like, grr. I was like, kill him.
Right.
I didn't know he wasn't a zombie, man, but A figured it out and was like, oh, okay. I thought, and none of them had gotten bit or anything. I thought maybe it gotten bit. I don't know. So they saved everybody. And one of the dudes they saved was a doctor. Mm. Law averages, Karen. They finally got lucky, man. They basically hit the jackpot for Glenn and Maggie, who, you know, having this baby and, you know, find out, hey, this dude's a doctor.
That and whatchamacallit, Boo gonna get some more training.
Who gonna get Denise yeah. could possibly learn some more training. Yeah, exactly. With the point being, they got a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy who almost got killed by Abe, his name's Freddie, and he talks about having a flashback to his wife when he was dying. And how he basically saw his one true love who died a long time ago as he was about to die. And I think that was like, you know, pretty ham-fisted, but it was like foreshadowing.
Right.
Rick drove into a fucking mud puddle, but it didn't matter because they were already at the new location, and we find out the location is the hilltop.
Yes, sir.
And they roll up to the hilltop and they got a big ass fence, just like you know, just like they do at Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
And the hilltop security, top flight of the world, Craig, was like, they was like, put your guns up, put them guns down. And Rick and them was like, you put your spears down.
I know what you're gonna do, chuck us to death.
Right, it was some fucking spear chuckers. I'm not being racist. This isn't a Donald Trump rally, guys. Mm-hmm. It was literal spear chuckers
mm-hmm.
at the top of the fence.
Really, real chuckers.
Talking about put your guns down. It was like, put your spears up. What?
This makes no sense.
This is pepper, rock, scissors, man. We Big Bang take Lil Bang, man. Put your spears down. What's wrong with y'all?
What is this, 1900s?
Unless y'all motherfucking got some Wakandan spears.
Right. Them motherfuckers ain't
about
to,
yeah, them motherfuckers ain't about to do shit. Are they going to explode when they hit us?
And repel bullets.
Right. Get the fuck out of here, man. But they was trying to act like they had a choice. And Jesus vouched for him, and the doctor dude vouched for him, like, hey, they cool, you could trust them. And then Jesus confided in Rick and them and said, hey, don't worry about it, I'm letting y'all keep y'all guns. Because Rick was like, nah, Gregory, the guy who runs this place, needs to come outside the fence and talk to us. We not going in there getting trapped and getting ate. We know how y'all do.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, no, you don't understand, we don't have any ammo, and I'm letting you keep your guns, so I trust y'all. Like, right. This is me trusting y'all. Y'all are the most dangerous motherfuckers here now.
And I know this.
Yeah, y'all can easily take over this place with these guns. I'm saying I'm letting y'all in because we do trust you. And it made you wonder too, because like, how is the hilltop defending themselves with nothing but spears?
Right.
You know, and Jesus said, well, the walls hold up, but it's like, man, that's, yeah. We've seen too much. Well, you know what? Definitely the wolves ain't been here.
They sure haven't.
Because the wolves would have got through that damn fence already. And y'all would have had to get some guns.
And tore them to pieces.
So they go into the fence and find out that this locale, the grounds of this place, is called Barrington House. And it's an old family in the 1930s that donated the house to the state. And it looks really like a plantation.
Yeah, big-ass plantation that they built walls around.
Yeah, people was feeding chickens and shit. Everybody was wearing brown. What do you call them? Like Everybody was wearing like brown earth tones and shit, you know, felt like slaves.
They may have been,
you know,
and somebody brought up a good point,
tilling the fields and shit.
Somebody brought up a good point. They were saying, wouldn't them walls wooden, so wouldn't they have to just set the walls on fire and the shit would just burn down?
Yeah, I don't know what them walls made out, but they didn't look
log
like
cabins.
Yeah, they didn't look too sturdy, man. It just, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
they
looked like they was built in the 1900s.
Yeah, they walked up in there and they was taking a good look around, and it was definitely a plantation style house. All I could hear was just
God's a God of trouble.
He gonna trouble it, y'all.
Ricky Dill was asking about weapons and medical facilities and shit. And I was just like, are these people free?
Right.
Are we?
What's happening here?
Is this like the hospital, but with outside?
Nobody knew. Mess ain't nice enough to let y'all sleep in the house?
Yeah, a metal worker making spears. I mean, you know, what is the deal with this place? They go inside the Barrington house and it's nice as fuck.
A beautiful place.
I think I saw Calvin Candy and Simon inside.
Yes!
I ain't never seen no nigga with a sword. Where you get that sword from, huh? Surprised, Gregory came out of his office. I'm surprised he didn't ask him to call them, Massa. Like, oh, it's me, Massa Gregory.
Right.
But yeah, Gregory comes out of the office and he welcomes them. And they like, okay, let's talk trade. And then he's like, why don't y'all go get washed up? Like, cuss him off mid-sentence. And everybody kind of looks at each other like, this dude's kind of a dick. Recurring theme.
Yes.
He told them to go clean up and then they could talk business and whatever. And Rick, as they were going to clean up, Rick was like, Maggie, you clean up first and you go talk to him. I shouldn't. And I feel like that was very mature of Rick. Because if he would have been in charge of negotiations, he would have been eating that man's throat out in 5 minutes.
It wouldn't have went well.
Would have pulled that gun on him, cocked his head to the side.
Right. It was one of those things where he was like, look, you've been trained for negotiation, not me.
Well, Maggie's kind of, she studied under Deanna. It was very important that happened last season.
Diplomatic.
Yeah, she learned under Deanna how to handle people and shit and how to plan for the future and all that stuff. And I think Rick recognizes how important roles are and she needs this experience. It'll help her and it'll help everybody. And plus, like I said, Rick shouldn't be doing it. He's going to punch that dude in the nuts.
Right.
Rick
be like, you going to do it or not, bitch?
Then we have a quick scene where Abe asks Daryl about settling down and asks if he ever thinks about settling down. And Daryl said, turned to him and said, you think this shit settle? And walks off. That was great. Because that answers the question for Daryl, which is, because I always wonder, like, why does Daryl never have a love interest? I don't even know Daryl's straight or anything.
Mm-mm.
And it seems like Daryl's basically like, man, I'm asexual in a zombie apocalypse. Till shit gets settled down, you can't do shit.
Because this thing is like, anytime anything could pop off.
Yeah, Maggie goes into the Gregory's office. He calls her Natalie.
Right.
She said, Natalie, right? She says, Maggie. He says, it's pretty close. She says, not really. And he's like, oh, you call it like you see it. I like that. She looks at a picture in the office. He walks over, gets all up in a personal space.
Right. He did everything short of calling her toots.
Yeah. Sweet tits.
Right.
Yeah. She walks like, so, he talks about, you know, it's like, this place was meant to be, like, I was meant to be here and all this shit. And she's like, yeah. Let's get down to talking about, you know, let's get down to brass tacks. And he starts asking her a bunch of questions. He's like, well, I do appreciate you saving my man, David, or whatever. And she's like, well, my husband saved him. So he knows she got a husband, right?
Right.
Away.
She was like, if you don't know, I'll make that crystal clear right now.
Right. Then he starts asking questions like, how many people y'all got? How much, like, just Y'all got medical supplies. My man Jesus says y'all ain't got food. Y'all, you know, if you don't have food, eventually it's all gonna come apart. Let's just speak the common tongue here. Y'all need to come here and basically work for our supplies. If you work, we'll give y'all supplies. And a beautiful, capable woman like yourself, you know, might be speaking the common tongue again, you know, might be able to help you out a little bit more. And there was a bunch of red flags in this conversation. Like, for one, he said, I'm happy to help. I'm a nice guy. I never trust anybody say that, nice guy. That's right when the dick comes out. No thanks.
Yep.
But Maggie basically was like, yeah, I'm gonna stop you right there. We got bullets. Y'all ain't got no bullets or medical supplies. So stop trying to posture like we can't trade. And he's like, oh, well, y'all, you know, basically y'all ain't got food, so it'll be worse for y'all. So you'll basically, you can get the fuck out. He just goes, thank you, Natalie. Good talk. So he says her name wrong again. And it's like he took the textbook Art of Negotiating, like just nag them and be mean to them and make them feel like they need you more than you need them, and they'll just capitulate to whatever you want them to do.
That's not realistic.
And he said, we're doing fine. Are you? And they come back, and now they're talking to Jesus. And Jesus is clearly the good cop to Gregory's bad cop. Jesus is like, look, we're out of ammo and shit, but we don't need it urgently because we have these walls. We'll be fine. And I'm like, okay, so obviously they haven't had, these aren't warriors. These guys haven't ever been to war.
They haven't had anybody like the governor or anybody like that come through there.
Yeah, these aren't people that have had to kill, apparently. Mm-mm. Not, at least not enough. And maybe it's just because the other people who are in camp aren't the warrior people, but whatever's up, they're not fighters. And that was one of the things Jesus said he liked about that crew, was that they were fighters, that he liked Rick's crew because of that. Which made me think, so then do y'all need a battle fault? Like, what is the thing that makes you want to bring them in then?
Right.
Cause you already said they ain't got food and shit. So anyway, Jesus says, I'll talk to him. I just need a few days. We'll figure it out. We're doing well now. You'll do well later. And he just said, can you give me a few days before anybody else can answer? Rick's still thinking it over, and Michonne says yes. And Rick kind of looks at Michonne, and then he's like, basically like, yeah, what she said, because, you know,
I'm not gonna argue with her.
I ain't gonna, can't talk about Bay like that,
right?
Not in front of everybody,
right?
I do wonder what happens if they ever really disagree in public, though. You know, she already knocked his ass out once.
Right. She was like, I'm not here for your foolishness.
So there's a memo. Basically, someone comes in and is like, hey, the guys are back. Nathan's back. And they're like, oh, okay. So everybody goes outside. Apparently, Nathan's an important person. He's been on a run. Him and a bunch of people went to go see Negan. Or is it Negan? Negan. And so we know Negan's name because of the guy who they blew up in the middle of the street
when we first came back.
Yeah, right. That guy was the spokesperson for Negan, who was gonna go to their facility, to Alexandria, and take all their supplies and shit too. So, you know, they're familiar with Negan. Nathan shows up looking a little bit like Khal Drogo with the beard and the ponytail.
Yes.
And Nathan's like, Greg goes, hey man, where's the rest of the crew? It's only three of y'all. And they were like, dead. They all dead. And they kidnapped Craig. Craig apparently is Nathan's brother.
Okay.
And Nathan's like, and he's like, well, what do they want? He's like, they told us you sent us light. You wouldn't have sent us light with our, and by light, they're talking about the, whatever goods that they're supposed to deliver to Negan. Apparently Negan said it wasn't enough, and that Greg knew and sent them with not enough stuff,
which he may have, we don't know.
Right. So he had to kill some people to make a point. And Greg's like, basically like, I don't know anything about that. Do you think Greg sent them with a light package?
Yeah, that because he's such an ass, it wouldn't surprise me if he purposely did that, thinking that they would just accept what he had as enough. And he was like, nope, that's not enough.
Yeah, because Greg's a slimy old dude.
Right.
He feels like his previous occupation was a manager at Hooters.
Right. You know? So people get felt up. He don't care because it don't affect him. And it's one of those things where.
Not even felt up. I feel like he did the filling up and he also cut holes in the locker room so he could see titties.
Right.
Like,
and picked at everybody.
That's Greg to me. You know? Greg is the dude that is.
He the one to get the hostess with the big titties and be right. Sure nobody else gets the job.
Right. You're hired. You know?
But I've had no experience. Don't matter.
Nah, you're hired. But I've been here for hours and I've worked several different Hooters. I don't care, bitch. Look at them titties. Get out of here.
Right. Beat it.
Anyway, so Greg, is like, why'd he send me back? Like, what's going on? And Nathan says he sent me back because he told me to give you a message. And Greg says, well, what's the message? And Nathan says, I'm sorry. And stabs that nigga, just shanked him. He starts shanking his ass like the Mad Real World when his dad got shanked. Mm-hmm. He's like, but why?
And that goes to show you that he don't have he didn't have respect for his authority.
Well, I don't think it was that. No, I don't think it was who didn't have respect. Nathan.
Yeah,
I don't think that was why. No, Negan said, "I'll kill your brother. The only way you get him back is you kill." Gregory and you bring me his head.
Okay.
And then okay. I'll give you your brother back. And okay. Let's be real, let's keep it 100. Most of us are doing exactly what Negan said.
Yeah, because you watched him kill them other people.
And your crew is already capitulated to this dude. He got your brother. This is the only way to get him back.
And when I said, I guess when I said don't respect him, Greg, right? Greg has bowed down before. So he, you know, the leader kind of sets the tone for the group. And when people see you constantly bowing down and constantly giving him whatever he wants to do, they're gonna follow what you do. So, hey, if he threatened me, of course I'm going to try to kill you because you would try to kill me if this was the other way around.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. I just think it wouldn't matter who the leader was. They got your brother.
Ah, okay.
It's just you're going to do it. You know, like
yeah, regardless,
him being a piece of shit is just a bonus piece. But
to the point,
if it would have been Rick, it would have been somebody you respected. You still got to get your brother back. And this is more important. Now, the problem was that dude wasn't very clever. He just walked right in and tried to do it. He should have waited a while and did it or something. But
more slick about it. Yeah.
Yeah. But the message was sent right then and so Rick stepped in to stop the guy from killing Gregory, which I wish he wouldn't have done. Cause I don't like Greg, you know, seemed like a piece of shit to me.
Yeah, Greg was like, yeah, you're a piece of shit, but I can't have you getting stabbed up on my dime.
So they start fighting the three people that came in, and Rick is fighting Nathan, Khal Drogo, and that fight is getting bloody and ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The other guy that was with them starts fighting Abe, and he's trying to choke Abe, and Abe is like not putting up a big fight. It's like he gonna get choked to death.
Hey, he's zoned out.
And then Rick is Nathan gets on top of Rick, and he's choking Rick out. He's got a knife to Rick's throat. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. And Michonne walked over to him and said, drop it, with holding her sword. And Nathan looked up for a second, and that was all it took for Rick to stab him in his neck and kill him.
Get him to business.
So I was like, teamwork makes the dream work. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the woman who was with Nathan, that must have been his like girlfriend or something, yeah, like somebody important to him,
come running up out of nowhere.
She hit Rick in the face, knocked him to the ground. Michonne rolled up on her and tripped her and threw her on the ground like, get your hands off my motherfucking man.
Oh, she was like, I'm not here for this,
bitch. And when old girl got ready to get up, Michonne looked at her and just said, don't. I love that. That was my favorite moment. And then Jesus came in, and of course he was a peacemaker, told everybody to put their spears down, and all the other guys put their guns down.
You missed the favorite part. After Rick,
that's why you here.
Okay, after Rick stabbed that dude, everybody stopped moving. Rick was like, what?
Yeah, Rick had blood all over his fucking mouth and right. shirt.
And everybody stopped. When Rick was like, what the fuck you expect me to do? He was like, yeah. You expect me to not defend myself? Like, what?
He just turned around. What? Everybody's like, well, you just killed a person that was our friend?
Rick was like, this is what I do.
He said he was trying to kill Greg. I steal him. What?
Right. Like, ain't this is the way it goes.
So, at any rate, Greg did survive the stabbing. The doctor dude came over to help. Abe gets, the guy who was trying to choke him got knocked out, by Daryl, I believe.
Yeah, I think he broke his arm at first, too.
Yeah, he broke his arm and threw him off to the side, so he gonna need medical attention. And then, Abe was just laying there, and then Daryl went to get him up, and Daryl said, you okay? And Abe was smiling, on his face, and his necklace had fallen off, and he left it there on the ground. He didn't even bother to try to pick it up. And while he was being choked, you could hear a voiceover, and it was actually Sasha's voice. Mm. Mm-hmm. So once you know that, it made me think to all, you know, of course, all the shit they drive it home here. Mm-hmm. You think of the one that you love when you about to die, like old buddy in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And then, hearing Sasha's voice, leaving Rosita's chain on the ground. It seems like my belief is Abe realized he's in love with Sasha and mm-hmm. he's going to go back and try to get in some of that brown sugar.
Mm-hmm. You want some of her brown sugar?
So then Jesus basically says, look, everything here ain't what it seems. As soon as we built these walls, this Negan dude who has this group called the Saviors showed up. They started making threats. They killed a 16-year-old boy named Rory in front of everybody. Said we need to understand right off the bat. hashtag Lucille. It was kind of funny that, you know, that happened, because what made me think was, because they didn't say it was Negan, they said it was his man that did it. I wonder if it was the same dude that they killed. Because he said, normally I just kill somebody off the bat. And I was like, oh, what if it's the same dude that he goes out recruiting people for Negan and, you know, they just happen to be one of the people. Mm-hmm. So, and they caved to Negan as soon as it got bloody. They give, basically, they have a deal where they give Negan half their shit.
Right.
Every, however so often.
Like, the thing about that war, like Alexandria's war before.
Yeah, and then he says he won't kill them. And they said, how many people in the group? And they said, well, we've never seen over 20 people, but, you know, it's big groups, you know. And Abe said, well, shit, that ain't nothing. They some pussies. Daryl's like, they some bitches. We ain't worried about it. Abe said, yeah, we saw him on PDQ. We left him in pieces and puddles.
Oh, Lord.
When they blew him up. What were you going to say, Cam? Sorry.
I personally think that this group was the same group that when Sasha, Daryl, and Abe, before, and they started shooting, I think this group was also part of that group, was out in the woods and stuff, and chopped that dude's arms off and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it wouldn't surprise me if this group right here is attached to that same group.
See, I think the opposite. I think those people were in Negan's camp.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And they were running from Negan. I don't think they were in Hilltop.
No. We're on the same page. I think that the people that were following Daryl and the other two, that group was part of Negan's group.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, so finally, now that he's been stabbed and his white privilege is all fucked up, Greg is ready. Greg is ready to talk to Maggie on one-to-one terms.
Stabbing will make you change your mind every time, won't it?
Yeah. Because Rick and them went out to the veranda and they all were talking and they realized this is going to be the trade.
Yeah.
We will kill Negan's people and they will give us food and all that stuff. And Maggie says it's going to cost us something. And it's like, be it as it may, you know, what are we supposed to do? We don't have anything else really to barter with. We're going to have to, you know, kill these motherfuckers and then get them to get Hilltop to give us some supplies.
Yeah, because this is one of the things. If not, we won't survive.
Exactly. They don't have a choice.
Right.
Jesus comes out and he goes, Greg wants to speak to, and Rick gets ready to go and he says to Maggie, and you know, he wants to speak to Maggie. And Glenn says, you got this, which I thought was a cool moment. Mm-hmm. And Maggie goes into, Greg's room and Greg is laid up with no shirt on the bed.
Sitting up in my room.
Right. Yeah. He was laying up in his bed.
Yes, he was.
Chilling and shit with the lights off.
Yeah,
with
he
no
was.
Shirt on.
All bandaged up.
Yeah, all bandaged up. It was a nice bedroom too.
Trying to set the atmosphere and shit.
Right. She walked into the room.
Turn off the lights.
And Greg was laying there with no shirt on. You know, it's a collection of pregnant porn books under the mattress. I don't know what he's into. But he was like, sorry for all the gloom. She was like, whatever, look, this the trade. We'll kill me, Negan. And we've handled people like Negan before. He said, how? She says, they're dead. And she was like, we'll get your boy Craig back. And he was like, that ain't my boy. And I was like, yo, cause he was like, I mean, his brother tried to kill me. Why would I want to save him? And she was like, well, he's one of your people. He's like, there's nothing. He's weak. Why would I want him back in the gene pool? He got kidnapped. I mean, that says a lot about him anyway.
You don't care about the community.
And then he was like, well, he does make good baked eggs and green tomatoes. He's a good chef, so
he
I guess
good slave boy.
I guess we'll get him back. And I was like, this dude just read like Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal. And that's how he tries to do every deal. Like, no, I'm the one in control. And it's like, no, dude, you have a gut wound. You can't do shit. We have all the bullets. We could just take this bitch. Okay? We're being polite and we're trying to work with you.
Right.
And it also says something about Greg. He's willing to sell his own people out to keep the upper hand in negotiations.
Yep.
Not gonna be the most trustworthy partner with Rick and them. Wouldn't be shocked if he sold them out. And I feel like he's a very weak leader and one of Rick's people could easily replace that motherfucker and now they would have two different locations.
True.
So I don't trust that motherfucker. He got to go. And so Greg, basically was like, well, okay, you got a deal. And she said, well, that's not all. We don't want to just, have, you know, to work. Cause he said, essentially, this is the same deal. You're working for our stuff. You know, you said that you wouldn't work for it, but you are working for our trade. And she was like, yeah, well, I know that y'all gave up all this shit to Negan when he came through and y'all didn't really put up much of a fight. And he was like, well, you got yourself a deal. We'll just call it that. And she said, well, one more thing.
I take half his shit, and they'll get it. They'll get you half your money, your house, your car, alimony, child support, and your children. You'll be on the company inquiry like this.
That's right.
She was like, half a D.
She got half that shit. She told him, I want half. Not some. I want half. And he gave it up.
Right. If we're going to risk this much, and I know it's going to be a cost, we're going to be sure all our people eat.
And he said, see, you got leverage. And that's why you're doing this, because you got the leverage now. and he clapped like he was okay with it. And I was like, I know this motherfucker is petty. A jerk.
Right.
You know, I know you can't play Monopoly with him. Mm-mm. But you can't play Monopoly with Maggie either. She got Boardwalk and Park Place, and she said one more thing I want, and she got an ultrasound so she could see that the baby was healthy and growing inside of her, and her and Glenn had a sweet moment.
Oh.
And they took the ultrasound and they handed it around the bus and the RV. Michonne looked at it, and Michonne was really happy for him, but then I felt like it was short-lived because, you know, she probably thinking of her own baby, mm-hmm, that she lost in the Z-Pac. And then I think they handed it to Abe, and Abe seemed a lot more enthusiastic about it now. Right. Then he had some clarity after being choked. And then that was the end of the episode. So, yeah. What are you looking forward to next week, Karen?
It's gonna be interesting. I'm looking forward to their plan on Negan and how they're going to do it, how they're going to execute it, and that right there is going to be interesting all in itself.
They also got to talk everybody into it,
right? Which might not roll over cool because they're like, hey, we just lost people like from two attacks within the 2 week period, dog. We need a break.
And Jesus and another dude went with them.
Yes.
So I feel like, you know, that's going to be the reconnaissance. That's going to be the people that tell them, like, how everything is going for the plan, how to get there, how many men he has, all that stuff that's really important to the plan. They'll probably get that information from those two. Mm-hmm. And I really like Jesus, so it'll be cool to see him some more. All right, let's get to the emails. These emails are brought to you by Bevel. That's mm-hmm. right. The first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Don't forget, Bevel is a black-owned business. You know, just like Tidal. That's right. I said it. Go look it up. You know, Tristan Walker is a young entrepreneur who wanted to cater to the unique shaving needs of black men. And if you want to support black businesses, you listen to this podcast. If you're premium, I know you guys support us. If you donate, things like that. This is a way that you can not only just invest in a company that's invested in you, but it's also investing in yourself, because you're investing in your own skin and your own comfort and feeling good and looking good. So take care of yourself, treat yourself, man. Get 20% off of your first month. Even just go to getbevel.com and use code TBGWT. That's getbevel.com, code TBGWT, and you'll get 20% off of your first month. All right, let's get to these walking emails. Our girl Miss Smart shows up. What's going on, Miss Smart?
Hey, sweetie.
From Whiskey Wine Moonshine, she says, let me preface this by saying that I am a good person. Oh Lord, no.
Ah, this might not end well.
Nothing after this will be okay. However, if Rick's group is willing to be the aggressors, they may as well go balls to the wall. In addition to killing Negan's group, Alexandria should just use their guns to take all the hilltop stuff, kill Jesus since he knows where they live, and install some Alexandrians to serve as overseers to make the rest of Hilltop keep producing the food. They should not give those Hilltop folks guns. They are in America, so they already know every time we share guns, the people turn on us.
Yep.
No. I don't want to watch that show. These niggas gonna fucking have slaves and shit.
Take it all.
You gonna go back to the Hilltop. This is gonna be Maggie and Rick with whips and shit.
I'm Glenn Morning.
Get over there and make some more of them crops, boy.
I better pick that cotton.
Damn, man. The Underground start next week. Y'all can't wait.
Yep.
Just watch Underground.
Now, I think Rick Crew would have before, but I think with the attitudes now, nah.
And they better not do that shit. I'll never watch this show again.
They have realized slaves.
No, show with this fucking slavery.
Harry's coming.
What's wrong with y'all?
Underground Railroad.
Rooting for the slave masters. Y'all disgust me.
You want to be free?
It's just wine and moonshine now. Daryl demanded a cow, but how does he plan to get the cow back to Alexandria? It's logistically too risky. Every single time they drive somewhere, something dumb happens with their transportation. He can't walk the cow to Alexandria if it takes a day to go to the from Alexandria to Hilltop. Also, do you guys think Michonne and Rick will start referring to each other as spouses? Maybe have a wedding? Jump the broom, Miss Smart? I tell you this, if he start trying to have slaves, I don't think Michonne's gonna be too enthused about this. It ain't no Sally Hemings shit. Okay.
I don't know if they have a ceremony. I think that
Glenn and Maggie did. They got married in the Z-Pop.
That's true. I don't know if Rick and Michonne would have.
Do you even have the resources to fucking spare to do a wedding? Weddings are already, I guess, if you know, for all the cheap people, man, this would be the right time to get married. Mm-hmm. The Z-Pop.
You ain't got to spend no money.
Babe, we can't afford a destination wedding.
Mm-hmm. We can't go nowhere.
Can't invite your mama. She a zombie. I'm sorry, baby.
She already did, baby. My bad.
Jay Fulwright said, a recurring theme in Daywalking seems to be manifest destiny. Rick feels like he has to conquer all these different settlements and teach them the way. How long before Rick takes over Hilltop? # white man's burden. Yeah, I don't think Rick. I think Rick is off that. I think that's why he let Maggie do the negotiating. Right. I think Rick is on some, can you help us or can you not? And that's as far as Rick thinks. But I think it's going to take a while for people to realize it. But I think Rick's a changed man.
Yeah.
Michonne gave him that good.
His attitude has changed.
Yeah. Like, y'all thinking about Rick with all that backed up semen over the last couple of years. It's totally different now, guys.
And he was rubbing on the wall with the zombies on the other side.
Yeah. It's a different guy now. That was just the backed up years of semen. Just Terry Crews all through his system. Okay?
They couldn't escape.
Also, every time people trade guns for goods with white people, they get smallpox or colonized. I don't trust this Hilltop situation one bit. Also, why isn't Judith walking yet? My theory is she has developmental issues as punishment for being a break baby, word to Tyler Perry. That's petty. Anyway, love the recast. Speaking of recast, is the last season of Them Thrones Reviews going to be parsed out like the previous season? Oh yeah, I can do that. I just need to do it. Yeah, I actually was thinking about doing that with The Walking Dead. I already got the daywalking.com, so I should do that. That's a good point. More work for me. Yay! I always love going back and listening to the reviews before the new episode start, but if that's too much work, I totally get it. Thanks for all you and Karen do, J Fool.
Yeah, we do that anyway, don't you?
Yeah. No, I've done it before, but I just need to do it this time.
Okay, yeah.
But I can do it. I'll get it done.
Make it a feed, yeah.
It already is a feed, but I need to put the new episodes on there.
Okay, update it, yeah.
Day Walking with Spears. Cecil writes in, sup Bob and Karen. Enjoy y'all's recaps. I'm sure this will be as good as usual. I like this episode. My only thought was that I missed Shane when Maggie was negotiating. Shane would have asked once and then killed everyone and taken what they needed. I think that would, well, see, a lot of times what I think you guys need to do is put yourselves in the shoes of the other groups. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't just think of it from Rick and his perspective, but think of it as if some crew came into the camp with guns and Rick and them didn't have guns, and then they were like, we want to have y'all food and y'all do this and that and the other. I feel like Rick and them would be just as distrustful and probably worse. Mm-hmm. Like, they probably knocked them out and kidnapped them and tie them up before they even try to trust them. Like, this group was pretty trusting on the whole. It's just Gregory was a dick.
Correct.
But in general, that was a pretty openly trusting group. I mean, it makes sense why they were marks and why Negan was punking them, because, you know, they was trusting people. Mm-hmm. He said, but yeah, Shane would have fucked it all up. He would have been there talking about, Rick, we can take everything. We can kill him.
Opening up the barn and shit.
Come on, Rick. Damn. Shane was just evil. Come on, man. Let's get the raping.
He was the worst.
Why not? Your kid ain't yours, it's mine. Come on now.
Everybody know.
But yeah, so I wrote hard for Shane, so I'm always looking for an opportunity to bring him up. I hate Shane. Like, how cute his daughter Judith is. That wave she gave at the beginning of the episode melted my heart. What are y'all expecting out of this Negan character? Do y'all trust Jesus and his crew? I will say this. The only thing that could derail the second half of this season would be if Negan was disappointing.
I don't think he's gonna be.
Right, which is why I would totally derail the second half of the season if he was. Everybody is now hyped up. They keep building the legend. We haven't seen him on screen.
No, but I don't think we're going to get introduced him to the very, very last. I think it's going to be the break. And in the next season.
And in the comics, he's extremely
he's something else.
Profane and all this shit. It's going to be different seeing it on regular TV.
Right.
Although FX has said that you can say fuck. They've shown it.
Oh yeah.
They've done it with the OJ show. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll get something, but that's the only thing that could derail it. I'm excited for Negan, but like I said,
me too.
I have no idea how much of the comic books was me putting into it, like this character's so badass and I can imagine any voice I want and any charisma and I can laugh at the sick jokes, whereas maybe in real life it won't come across so great, but we'll see, man. But I'm excited for Negan, man. I cannot wait.
I am too. I think that even with the governor, because the governor is also in the comics, I think that they actually did a wonderful job on a TV series with the governor, so I trust them so far. They haven't let me down. I think whatever route they choose to take with him is going to be enjoyable.
Yeah. All right. And last email, EVE says, Walking Dead feedback from EVE. Hi, Rod and Karen. Another great episode. At first, I likened the Hilltop people to the former Alexandrian cowards, but then I thought about it. They're not really cowards because they are clearly people. There are people there who are willing to fight, but they have no ammo. What exactly would they do against the saviors who apparently have tons of ammo? Not to mention they have a leader who talks a big game but is a true coward. I understand their position is all about self-preservation. Yeah, that's the thing I think people don't realize, is because we've mostly only been concerned with the levels of evil and fucked up people are, and every civic situation, every living situation always has a catch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alexandrians are cool, but they're just completely unprepared for the Z-Pac, you know. Terminus is a good location, they want to eat you. The hospital's a good location, them motherfuckers are rapey ass slave owners.
Yes.
Like everything has a catch, you know. The church is a good location, it's run by a coward, and it's hard to defend. It's always something, you know. The barn is hard to defend, and the dude was keeping zombies alive in the barn, you know, trying to save them. So there's always something, you know. The prison, people want to take it from you. Well, I think Hilltop is the first time we got somewhere the people aren't the catch. The problem is they're in a bad situation. If you want their help, you're gonna have to help them get out of a bad situation, which puts you in the risk.
Right.
All the Michonne scenes were so adorable. When Rick touched Michonne's knee, that look on his face said, "We're fucking tonight." You know, Carl and Judith won't be getting much sleep from now on. Ha! I saw the way Abe was looking at them. He was jealous because he wants a piece of chocolate too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Abe was dying to ask Rick if he could smell his finger. Ugh. This show just keeps getting better. It sure does. All right, and I guess we should do at least Sword Ratchetness before we get out of here.
Okay.
Let me open up that tab, and while that's opening, I will play some Negro spirituals for y'all.
Swing low.
Think about them slaves, y'all.
Swing.
This is what they were singing out there while they was working hard.
Swing.
This is what Rick and them Ritter heard when they was rolling up.
Coming up on The Walking Dead, written by Miss Smart.
Sweet
she gonna have him change this shit.
Yeah.
This really what you think people want to hear, Miss Smart? Every week, you think they're gonna just keep tuning in to see the next slave narrative? Come on, man, get out of here. not trust these evil cover hogging people. Cover terrorists.
In prison tonight for Englewood's first homicide in 7 years. A judge sentencing John Cochran to 15 years to life in prison today. 2 News reporter Kelly King with reaction from the courtroom.
While John Cochran apologized in court and brought up his clean record, a judge said due to the nature of the crime, this was the punishment he had to impose by law.
I know what I did was wrong. I know what I did was a terrible crime. I deserve to be punished. I'm sorry, deeply sorry, for the events that took place. I ask mercy on this court because it is my first time being in trouble like this. And I have had a good record up until now.
Cochran stabbed his roommate Mark Gershon to death with a sword in their Sabina Avenue home in May 2014. A judge found him guilty of murder and felonious assault Friday after deliberating for only 3 hours. Prosecutors say they are satisfied with the sentence.
It's the appropriate sentence for the crimes for which he was convicted. So we're satisfied and we're pleased that the jury came back with the verdicts that they did. But even if you believe that he was insane at the time, that he knew the wrongfulness of his behavior is very clear.
Cochran must serve those 15 years before he's even eligible for parole. Kelly King, 5 on 2.
And his name was John Cochran.
What a name!
I wonder, after he asked for mercy in the court, he turned around and was like, nigga, please.
Oh, Lord.
And then Black Superman started playing. All right, guys, we will be back on, possibly Saturday. We're going out of town this weekend, so we'll be back soon. We gotta go see Nick Jew.
So that'll
be cool.
That's gonna be fun.
So we'll be back sometime this weekend, probably. Who knows? I mean, you know. But
we'll be back though, y'all.
Yeah, we'll definitely have balls deep and all that stuff though. So until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.